and gentlemen, you're listening to the 24th episode of the Star Wars Report, the Jack Bauer episode of the Star Wars Report. Aha, I bet you didn't see that coming. I'm one of your hosts, Riley Blanton. Not. With me is my inimitable co-host and sister, Bethany Blanton. Welcome to the show, welcome to the show, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
And of course, Mr. Mark Herleman, our third co-host. And defender of the UN, brand new co-host of the upcoming podcast, Star Wars Beyond the Film. We'll be talking about that in just a second. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey!
Pleasure to talk to you.
Happy to be here.
Let me just tell you something, guys. There's nothing more exciting than actually when this show first starts each week and we get to talk some wars. And although this week it wasn't quite the same, because just yesterday, this is called a segue, we were talking some wars, and it's not Star Wars. Yesterday, which is Wednesday, as we record this on Thursday evening, 8 o'clock p.m., live on Middle Earth Network Radio. Yesterday, we did a very special live episode of the Star Wars Report. Not that they aren't all live now, but we got to interview three awesome authors in the Wars franchise, the Wars by Decipher, I should specify, not the Star Wars franchise. Some awesome guys. Of course, Nathan P. Butler should be well known to many people in the Star Wars fan audio community. Head honcho over at StarWarsFanWorks.com. Producer of a bajillion different cool podcasts and fan audio projects, audio dramas. He's been in this stuff way longer than I have, I'll tell you that. But we weren't talking about that. We were talking about his authorship in the Wars franchise. And for those of you who don't know what Wars is, you should, because it sounds awesome. It's like, what would happen if in the 24th century there was a colonization, that we as humans colonized Mars, only there was a grand split and then a war between the factions of the Gonjin on Mars, and of course the Earthers, and then of course the Mavericks, the smugglers, as I like to call them. All kinds of cool stuff. You can learn more about that franchise by listening to the last episode. As we do this in the kind of time warp thing, it's already in the feeds. I just posted it this afternoon, so go check that out. I think anyone interested in Star Wars will be interested in that as well, and I'm sure that'll be re-airing here on the Middle Earth Network as well. So go check that out. We got one more announcement that coming up later in the show. We'll be talking to Nathan P. Butler once again about a brand new Star Wars podcast that's joining the Star Wars Report Network. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, yet another one. We were talking about it on the last episode. Details are being finalized, and Star Wars Beyond the Films premieres right here on StarWarsReport.com in January. Super excited, so we'll have Nathan on later in the show, and Mark, you and Nathan can talk all about what you guys are planning and what's coming up and what the listeners can look forward to. So that's going to be awesome. Coming up in this show, we've got all kinds of great stuff, so much Star Wars news that's come out in the 2 weeks since we last did a regular episode. I'll tell you what, Mark, I felt like we had a lot of stories back when we were doing a monthly show before we rebranded into the Star Wars Report. But now we've got, it seems like even though we're doing a weekly show, we've got more stuff than we can talk about every week. But I like it. I kind of like it that way. It's nice to always have a little more left over.
Exactly.
You don't want to get all the way talked out. So let's talk about it. Here's a great article from, I should have the website up. Here it is, from tgdaily.com. Star Wars threatens World of Warcraft. Let's talk about it.
I knew it! I've been calling this since day one!
Take that, elves and dwarves and whatever other stuff is on World of Warcraft. I have no idea.
You little green orc, you.
Activision chief Bobby Kotick is downplaying concerns that Electronic Arts could steal the World of Warcraft market share with its upcoming Star Wars multiplayer game, which is due to hit stores December 20th, coming right up in, and have to do some live math, in 12 days. Can you believe it, Mark, as we record this? 12 days till Tor comes out.
It's hard to believe. I mean, it's just been been in the works for so long, in a way. You just kind of get used to, the Old Republic, it's coming out sometime, and we'll keep getting cool trailers, and it'll come out sometime. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's but that's not the case. It's finally here after all this waiting. But anyway, Kodak, who's known for his outspoken opinions and controversial remarks, also questioned whether EA could even make any money off the game, as it has to pay Lucas big bucks for the licensing rights. Quote, Lucas is going to be the principal beneficiary of Star Wars, Kodak claims in a statement quoted by Reuters. We've been in business with Lucas for a long time, and the economics will always accrue to the benefit of Lucas, so I don't really understand how the economics will work for Electronic Arts. Interesting. So according to Kodak, it is difficult for gaming studios to field a multiplayer title that will appeal to the masses as much as something like World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. But of course, I think that's about to change with a little name like Star Wars. We've talked about this, and I just wanted to bring this up because this has really been the ultimate showdowns ever since they announced it. It's WoW versus Tor, WoW versus Tor.
The thing about it was WoW has such a good format. It's proved that it's willing to go beyond, you know, what people were expecting of it. And Star Wars has the same type of venue that it could do. I mean, on EUcast, we talked about, you know, all they have to do is do an expansion of a planet, you know, every year on tour to just continue this going forever.
Well, for gamer fans, this is kind of coming on the heels of news, if you weren't aware of that, this last financial quarter, World of Warcraft lost 800,000 subscribers. 800,000 subscribers. Now, that sounds like a lot. They still have 3.4 million players who pay that monthly subscription for World of Warcraft. But that's still, a lot of people are predicting that a lot of those people will be jumping Starship, so to speak. See what I did there?
And Chad in the chat says they bumped the launch for the head start to the 13th.
Yes, they did. I saw that closer. In the news, too.
Really, really interesting. Fascinating. Yeah. So,
It's nice to have a Star Wars thing be ahead of schedule instead of behind schedule.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Definitely. Jumping on to another quick story, George Lucas from Star Wars. Okay, wait a second. Access Hollywood. All right, hang on. Access Hollywood. We know who George Lucas is. George Lucas from Star Wars is to lend support to auction for ailing infant. Has anybody heard of the Princess Leia Diaries? Bethany, why don't you take the story? Because I know you've been following it even more closely than I have, and we've been following it closely through our relationship with Stephen Stanton and his group in heading up this effort. So why don't you give folks the lowdown and how this thing got mainstream?
Well, basically, little Princess Leia, she's a baby girl, just under a year old, was having a lot of medical difficulties, and her parents are huge Star Wars fans, hence, you know, her name.
I think members of the Mandalorian.
Yes, members of the 501st, in fact.
Indeed. And anyway, so her parents had to take her to the hospital, and she was just in a lot of pain, and they didn't really know what was wrong with her. So, I mean, this little girl and her parents have basically spent the last 8 months in the hospital. Her parents aren't really working anymore because they have to pretty much spend full time looking after her. And I'm not sure how their job situation is going right now, but they've spent over $2.5 million now in the hospital because, I mean, they're in the special baby care unit, and she's had multiple surgeries, had the removal of cataracts in both of her eyes. She has to be on a ventilator most of the time, and she's had over 60 doctors look at her. Those of you new in the chat, it's been a very sad story to watch in ways, because it's very sad to see an infant who's suffering like that.
Yeah.
But it's been a very inspiring story because Star Wars fans and actors and authors and writers have all pitched in to help these parents and their little girl. They've raised money for her. Stephen Stanton, who plays Captain Tarkin in the Clone Wars series, he and his crew have gone around and gathered signatures on two Clone Wars helmets, like the 501st would wear.
Mm-hmm.
And they raised over $5,000 just with those helmets, which is really nice. So,
and that's the big one right there. I mean, before that, I'm part of their private Facebook group where Steve Stanton and them are part of, and they've done patches for her, they've done coins, And the helmets was something that they were talking about for a while. And I believe Steve Stanton was the one that totally got the ball rolling. And next thing you know, he's got an actor here and there, and they're all signing the name on it. And so it was pretty cool to see, you know, from the behind the scenes thing, because they were like, oh, we can't talk about this. Let's wait until we get the helmets back and stuff. So it was really cool. I mean, because, I mean, they knew about it for a while, but they were like, well, we got to wait till we get it back. I mean, they could be saying it could get lost in the mail. You know, anything bad could happen. So it was just interesting to watch, you know, as it all unrolled and the generosity of the fans. I believe one of the helmets was $2,850 or so.
Yeah.
One of them, I believe, we had is a Republic Commando helmet, and the other one is a regular clone helmet.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. That is correct. And really, after getting all these various actors and fan signatures on it, it was really cool to see the community come together. And we were at Fan Days and witnessed a lot of the people signing these helmets, which is, you know, it's crazy just to think about. We seem so removed from that, but it's hard to believe that Fan Days was only in October. I'm telling you, a celebration will be right around the corner, and we'll be seeing each other again. But the fan community has just been amazing, and of course, George Lucas's signature on it. That's as high up as it goes, and I was genuinely really surprised to see that happen.
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, you know, George does a lot of things, but when he stops and does these things, especially in a case like this, it really lets you know, he's not just out to make money. And a lot of fans really feel that way. I don't, but I see people come across that way. And I think, you know, these kind of things are reminders that, you know, the man's got a heart in the right place. He's not just in it to win it when it comes to cash. He enjoys telling a good story, and he cares for people as well. And it's always great when he actually takes an active role in helping people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. And for those of you just tuning in, you're listening to the Star Wars Report live on Middle Earth Network Radio. We've got folks all around the world tuning in right now. A lot of people joining us in the live chat, which is awesome. We got people in Australia. So hello to you guys. Okay, all right. Now they've tuned out.
Yeah,
after my hello.
You just drove them away.
But yes, it's an inspiring story, and to me, it's a big fan endeavor, fan community endeavor surrounding this one child. But it's really not just about Princess Leia. It's not about little baby Leia. It is about this idea that she has an unknown disease that's ailing her. And an unknown medical condition that is just our medical technology and our medical system here in the United States hasn't been able to find out and figure out what's happening. So this is very much a case where people, you know, we live in a fallen world, and you know, things aren't always perfect. And so it's really neat to see people coming together to try to find a solution for not just little baby Leia, but for any baby who's or young child who's going to be inflicted with the same kind of sickness in the future. And so I think that it's more than just about her. It's about a generation of kids and really how we can pursue knowledge in the medical community. And just to have that big of an issue, to have that big of a problem addressed by a little sci-fi fan community, that's pretty awesome if you ask me.
You're right, Riley. I mean, my mom does a lot of these kind of charity things. Joan Just Begun is a local one that was here in Oregon. And a lot of these, it's the same thing like Leia, you know, where they don't know what's causing these kids' condition. And you'll have one or two families, you know, here or there across the world that have it. And they're getting together on the internet, and they're raising awareness. And by raising awareness, they're able to find, you know, what's causing these things. But it's amazing how in the charity events and stuff, where a lot of these charities are competing for the same money, because there's, you know, not always so much to go around. And so you'll see all these just heartbreaking cases of like four or five boys and girls that have this, and you know, seven or eight of them that have that. And then you've got one or two that have this, and they're just trying to get enough people that have the same symptoms so they can get a study. You know, and it's just heartbreaking to see, because there's not enough money to go around. And so when you see something like this where, you know, it starts with the community reaching out to the parents and going from there and finding ways to help them out. I mean, because, man, they were in a really tough way when this all started, and they're still in a tough way. You know, and knowing that that happens to so many people across the world, and knowing that, you know, communities like the Star Wars community and fandom can come together and help in those situations, it's heartwarming as a human race, you know?
Definitely. And I'm just double checking the URL, because even if you missed the auction or couldn't contribute that way, you can still go to Princess Leia Diaries, Leia with a leah.blogspot.com, and you can see a little donate button, actually a chip in button, to help the family, and not just help little Leia, but also help other help discover what's wrong with her, so that other people can also benefit from the same thing.
Yes.
Let's jump to the next story, where we have an unseen Empire Strikes Back storyboards detailing the Battle of Hoth. Now, we've got two stories that are kind of vintage this week, starting with this one. It's pretty cool to see something like this that you would think has been out there for a long time, but it just surfaced. This is from IO9, and you can see where it is very visual, so we'll try to describe it for you, but you can see these storyboards, these original storyboards from the Empire Strikes Back, and that's pretty cool. We'll definitely link to these in the show notes.
Yeah. The part I like was it was a small number of storyboards used for the early conceptualization of the Star Wars Empire Strikes Back reside in private collections, and the storyboards command thousands of dollars at auctions. I mean, and we're just talking about, hey, a little auction for some helmets here. Imagine if one of these things went out to a charity or something, you know? But the boards are based on the fifth draft of the script for the movie. So I like how when you're looking through them, you can actually recognize a lot of the scenes, because it's a lot closer than, you know, some of the earlier drafts that we know about.
I like the picture of Obi-Wan. He almost looks like Gandalf with that hat.
He does. A wizard hat, Gandalf there.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. It's interesting, because I think there are a lot of very rare and collectible Star Wars items that are in private collections. And I know for a fact that there are a lot of people with private collections that have the old original prints of the theatrical release of the Star Wars movies, and so it's interesting, because you know there's that fan project, I don't know if you'd heard of this, Mark, that fanedit.org was doing, where they were compiling different people's prints of the film, and they were trying to reconstruct the absolute original theatrical release of Star Wars. It's pretty crazy, but yeah, you can see
that's awesome.
I know, I would. I'm just trying to imagine having one of those prints. I'm sure it's pretty rare, but you can see, a lot of these are very rough sketches, but you can kind of see the look early on. It's probably very much based on Ralph McQuarrie's concept art, but you can see how the Battle of Hoth was going to go. You can see the Rebel cruiser escaping Hoth. That's a pretty cool shot. But yeah, the storyboards are definitely pretty neat. Now, I think in the film process, they do use storyboards to kind of gauge the running time as well. Am I right? I don't know a whole lot about that portion of the
scene. It also helps the people that are creating a lot of the special effects, give them an idea of what is wanted visually. You know, because you got to keep in mind, a lot of this stuff before blue screens, when blue screen came out, everybody was just like, you want what? You know, so I mean, storyboards were critical in the blue screen era, and Lucas is pretty much the first one to really jump on that and move forward with that technology. So could you just imagine, you know, the jaw dropping, like, how are we going to go about this, you know? And then George starts bringing in a bunch of different little parts and stuff and puts it together. Look, I got a Y-wing. Oh, okay.
Definitely. And we've got the other vintage story that we're going to be talking about in just a minute here. Now I've got to vamp for time a little bit while it loads, but this is an old television interview that was cut together from the 1980 release of The Empire Strikes Back. It's an interview from the archive of reporter Bobby Wygant, I should say. This lost interview appears to have occurred at the 20th Century Fox Studios press event in early May 1980. It includes some rare conversations with Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, David Prowse, Carrie Fisher, Billy Dee Williams, and director Irvin Kershner, who, by the way, doesn't look any different than he did in recent years. God bless him. Rest in peace, Irvin Kershner. Some highlights include Mark Hamill discussing his newborn son, Nathan, and he jokes about the role of an 8-year-old Luke for the prequels. So he got the age right, but it was kind of a generation off there. So I've got the video loading here. But basically, what it is they talk about Star Wars episodes 7, 8, and 9. And the the lady, it's one of those, the way it's cut together is that it cuts in and out from lots of clips of the film, and then they disperse in little excerpts of the interview, and the reporter does a little bit of voiceover to describe what's coming up in The Empire Strikes Back and why audiences should be excited to see it. And it's also really funny to see the reporter's clothes and style. It's very 80s. Very 80s. So,
oh dear.
We'll definitely put a link in the show notes to the actual thing, because you should definitely watch the whole thing. But I'm going to play an excerpt here. Now, Mark, have you seen the vintage interviews and stuff? Because it seems like back then Lucasfilm's a little bit less tight-lipped.
Yeah. You know, that's part of the thing. Like, when you've been in fandom for a while, you've, you know, seen the different, we're going to have 6 films, 12 films, 1 film, 2 films kind of thing. And so I've seen a few different clips, but I don't know. I don't think I've seen any of these clips.
Yeah. Well, what George Lucas is often really known for throwing out old ideas, but then sometimes reusing them, kind of like he is right now with the Clone Wars. And also an unprecedented, he's now basing whole stories off of the EU. All right, the video's loaded. That's called stalling for time. All right, let's see if this works.
Steady, Dak.
Steady, Dak.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now.
George Lucas is planning 9 space adventures. He began with the middle stories. Star Wars was actually number 4. The Empire Strikes Back is 5th. And the next one, due out in 1983, will be episode number 3.
All right, pause it for a second.
Okay.
So she got it right. episode number 3 is, she means, is episode 6. So number 4, 5, and 6. And this is, remember, this is an early 80, and they'd already set a release date at 83 for the third and final film. So, but let's hear a little bit more about that 9 film thing.
Harrison Ford believes it may be his last one as Han Solo.
The story that we're engaged in now really concludes itself in the next film. And then George moves on with the same milieu but different characters into the 3 that follow this. Or they may be 3 that precede it.
Aha! The 3 that follow this. So basically, uh-huh, where he's talking about...
Or precede? Mm.
Yeah, and he mentions an MOU, a memorandum of understanding, is what he's talking about. And so to hear him, Harrison Ford, first of all, not be that grumpy. This is before the grumpy days, which is pretty cool. But also to hear him talk about the 9 films and what it would be like, that's pretty awesome. So let's go ahead and finish out the clip.
I don't know exactly what the plan is, but our characters more or less conclude their story in the next one.
And yours as well, C-3PO?
Well, there are vague thoughts that the two robots go on through the whole thing. Which I don't know whether they do or not. Whether I could play 3PO at the age of 60, I mean, when I was 60, is a question housewives all over America are asking.
Okay.
And you'll be happy to know, housewives across America, the answer was yes.
The answer is yes. He can still play 3PO. It's so funny looking back on this, but also, wow. Here, Harrison, you could hear the hints where he thinks that, you know, he won't be playing Han Solo after these 3. He thinks it'll be the end. And I think that he, even back in 1980, he wanted to, he was thinking that the character of Han Solo would die to sacrifice himself for his friends. We haven't ever really talked about that, Mark. I was wondering, because it's something that some people agree with him and some people don't. But Harrison Ford has been public about he thought Han Solo should have died at the end of Return of the Jedi to sacrifice his friends. Do you think that has merit?
Well, you know, I'm always a fan of a good death. You know, I could see it working, but at the same time, a lot of the books and stories I enjoy wouldn't have the characters I enjoy if Han didn't live to reproduce. So
that's true. Yeah. That's true. But I wonder, it's just all these what ifs that you can play where, you know, with I can kind of see what it would be like if Chewbacca had died.
Well, that's what I love about Infinities. You know, Force Unleashed 2, when we see Han die at the hands of the Dark Apprentice. You know, I mean, that's what is great about the Infinities. And that's a shame in the regard of once the Star Wars Tales line kind of dropped off, we don't get many affinities anymore. And I kind of enjoyed the alternate realities of them, you know, and a lot of people are always like, oh, no reboots or anything like that. But Infinities has been our reboot and has been around for a long time. And they're interesting. Think of the White Vader from Empire Strikes or Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
That one where he ends up living and he's all white Vadered out. I believe one of the toy companies is making a statue of that version even.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, I know there was a comic two-pack with that particular Infinities, as I recall.
I have that.
Oh,
yes.
Nice. Yeah, I do love Infinities, and I like that kind of alternate storytelling. That's one reason I do enjoy fan fiction.
Yes. Fan fiction is definitely interesting. I'm not sure if I would have wanted Han Solo to die or not. I think not. It would have made for a good story. But I would have also been very sad, and like Mark said, a lot of the stories in the expanded universe would not have happened without Han Solo, and he makes a great character.
He really does. I mean, I don't know. It depends on who writes him. There's some people who are like, oh, that person didn't get Han. But I really find that Han, in a lot of ways, is the core of the quote-unquote big three. I mean, you know, without his personality being nailed, you don't really have the feeling of, like, these are the same characters anymore. Because he kind of grounds them. I mean, Leia grows up to become, you know, the chief of state. Luke becomes Super Jedi extraordinaire. And Han stays Han. I mean, that's what I love about him.
Definitely. I mean, Han Solo is definitely the grounding wire, so to speak, to use an electrician's metaphor of Star Wars. You know, it's hokey religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster at your side.
I think that's why I like the New Jedi Order so much. I mean, we see a very dark side to Han Solo, and some people didn't like it. I found it refreshing, and I wanted to see how a character would react when it was such a close connection like that. And I think that the way they played it out worked. I mean, a lot of people were like, man, they're really dragging this out. And I'm thinking, this is, you know, his best friend. I mean, so much so that I think he took him so for granted that what you saw was that realization that my buddy's gone. And it was just compounded. And I love the way it played out. And I think that just added to what I love so much about the character, because he still stayed on. And even though he lost his best buddy, it added to the character instead of taking away.
Yeah, yes. Definitely. And I have read a good portions of Vector Prime. It's the only NJO book that I have read good portions of because of its very controversial nature. And if nothing else, I will say this, it was very well written. Mark, I was just looking in our chat, at our private chat that you sent, and you were talking about the storyboards we were talking about a moment ago, and they show off the work you point out of Joe Johnston, the designer of Boba Fett's armor, and of course director of The Rocketeer, and more recently, this past summer's Captain America.
That was good. I just watched that. I was surprised.
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard good things. I've heard the good things. And I remember there was an interview, I have no idea who, I'm just completely off the top of my head, where Joe Johnston had stated it would be really cool to do a Boba Fett movie. And he publicly stated, you know, he'd love to do that. And obviously, that's a far, far cry from it actually happening. But it would be awesome to see. I don't think anyone would dispute that. And I remember at a... I guess it wasn't Fan Days because he wasn't there. It was Tamara Morrison was indeed at
DragonCon
this past year, and we interviewed him. And this is one of those times when a few minutes after the interview, I kicked myself because I forgot the question. Because, you know, when you interview somebody on Skype, like we do often, you have your list of questions and you go through them, and often it's very easy, and it sometimes can become almost formulaic if you're not careful. You know, but when you go, when it's live and in person, I'll tell you what, it's it's crazy. And that was a question I forgot to ask Tamara was based on something that he said in a panel earlier that day, where someone walked up to the mic and was asking the question of him. Poor guy. First of all, side story. He was sitting up there with Peter Mayhew and Ashley Eckstein. And all the adults, the over 40-something-year-olds and the over 30-something-year-olds at Dragon Con are all asking Peter Mayhew the questions. And then all the kids are asking Little Ahsoka, Ashley Eckstein questions about Little Ahsoka.
Uh-huh.
And so Tamara Morrison sitting off to the side, and like 30 or 40 minutes go by this 1 hour Q&A session, and he hasn't been asked a single question. And I was thinking of just getting up and coming up with something because I felt bad for him. And
Boba Fett, where?
Exactly. So, where is Boba Fett? No, I wouldn't ask that question. But anyway, this guy walked up and asked him, "Hey, Joe Johnston, you know, mentioned that he would be interested in doing a Boba Fett film. Whether it would be in the role of a live-action series or a Boba Fett film, how would you like to play a more aged Boba Fett? How would you like to return to the character?" Because Tamara Morrison has been active in acting. A lot of the Star Wars actors are famous for either they do their role and then they might have one or two smaller parts, but then they're done. Whereas Tamara Morrison, he's been doing a number of things. He was in Green Lantern this past summer. He was in a pretty major role. He was also had a major role in the Starz TV series Spartacus: Gods of the Arena. I don't know if I would recommend or watch either of those. I haven't seen them, but I have seen pictures of him. And so yeah, his answer was he would love to come back and play Boba Fett. And so yeah, I say all that because you reminded me in the chat there that was what happened, and that was it was I could kick myself that I didn't follow up on that question because I personally think that Tamara Morrison would make a fantastic Boba Fett. He does have this kind of calm, collected nature that I think
makes Mandalorian. Boba Fett. I mean, like I said in the chat, he's as James Earl Jones is to Vader as Boba Fett is to the special editions. I mean, he played the voice of Boba Fett.
That's true.
I mean, granted, yeah. it was added later, but hey, it's George Lucas, and that makes it canon, so it was always there.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Who is Bullock? I don't know who Jeremy Bullock. No, actually, no, it wasn't. I don't know who was the original voice. I know it wasn't Jeremy Bullock, or we would have a very thick British accented Boba Fett. Jeremy Bullock, by the way, another really cool guy. So yeah, if you want to, you can head back in the archives. I don't know the episode number off the top of my head, but you'll find it.
I already gave our live chat the link.
Oh, all right. Excellent. And you can find our interview with Tamara Morrison and a number of other Star Wars celebrities of various kinds from Dragon Con. Good times. Man, I enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun back at Dragon Con back in the day.
Okay.
It was a Wednesday.
Okay. Chad of the chat just made me jealous. He says he has Jeremy Bullock's autograph. Oh, that would be
cool.
So cool. Yeah.
Jeremy Bullock. Yeah, cool guy. Well, Chad, head to Celebration 6. I'm sure he'll be there. So before we continue on this portion of the show, let's talk about our sponsor for this episode, ToyHut.com. Toy Hut with two T's.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Go buy toys or you will have the Hut clan put a big bounty on your head. There we go.
Ooh.
Okay.
What could go wrong?
Hire some Death Watch. We'll
threaten the audience to go to go buy their product. No. ToyHut.com, Bob Reedlove and his staff over there, those guys are awesome. We've talked about them each episode in the recent weeks. They've been sponsoring us for quite a while. Sponsoring us since Dragon Con and since before Dragon Con and also through this holiday season when you're doing your Christmas shopping with do it with ToyHut.com. And I see Bethany's preparing now. Bethany's pulling up a featured pick. So Bethany, give us your pick for this week. What is it?
Well, they have a Star Wars original trilogy holographic Princess Leia. I did not know that this existed.
Yay.
It's just under $12, but it's really cool. It looks like she's, I don't know, like she's lit up with sort of a cool glowing light or something. It's really neat. But
help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
All right, so the pick of this week, a holographic Princess Leia. I believe that's a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive from what I was seeing. It says SDCC, so I think that's exclusive. So only $11.75, just $12. Great deal. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. And that way, you can, when you do your shopping, just put in a little note in the comic section you heard about them through the Star Wars report. And better yet, just go to the blog post for episode 24, the Jack Bauer episode of the Star Wars Report, and that way they'll know where you came from. Thanks, Toy Hut. We really appreciate you guys supporting us throughout the holiday season. Awesome. Let's go to this next story. Bethany, you popped into this in the show, so I'll let you take this one. I know this was something you were very interested in.
Well, actually, Star Wars is, I should say Lucasfilm is releasing music to the Old Republic for free. So like each week or so, they're releasing a soundtrack for free. You can download it or you can listen to it on Facebook or YouTube. And I just thought that's really neat. It's again, it's that free marketing style that I like, where they're giving us, the consumer, something for free, but they're getting good fan relationships out of it, good publicity out of it, and, you know, they're also getting advertising out of it if they're doing it on YouTube.
Interest, interest, interest. Everybody's interested. And there's nothing like that word free.
Yeah, yes. Definitely, definitely.
It's to me, it's the way to market things now. I suppose we could try and sell you guys our podcast, but somehow I don't think you'd really like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That night we might get sued.
Bad idea, bad idea, bad idea. Although we do have some cool, very cool ideas in the works.
Let's go ahead and pull Nathan Butler in.
Yes,
in a minute.
Yes, I'm seeing
ready.
That right now. So let's see if we can pull Mr. Nathan Butler into the call, because I want to go ahead and jump into the next store. But that is a great marketing technique, by the way. I'm pulling Mr. Butler into the call. See if he can join us. And talk about Star Wars Beyond the Films, because I know, Mark, you have to leave in just a minute here.
Littlest Christmas Tree performance to go and attend. Oh, my young Gavin Darklighter. That's not his real last name or middle name, but so first. He's got a performance.
But you'll be here for just a moment if you got just a minute. I'll let you and Nathan Butler,
Hello.
Who's joining us
Hello.
Live. Hello.
I figured I'd hand it off to my co-pilot here and let him take over.
Awesome. So, Mark, as you leave, I'll say, would you mind giving a quick summary of what you guys are working with so far? And then I'll let you throw it to Nathan, and we'll grill Nathan a little bit more about what you two are working on for the Star Wars Report Network. This is going to be awesome.
Well, as I've hinted around on the past episode, I was thinking about doing a cover-type episode or something along those lines. And that was about the time Nathan was bringing the EU review to the end, so I got along with him. We were chatting about other things and got into the subject of podcasting and bringing up, you know, topics along the lines of Chrono Radio and the old shows he used to do and what I would like to see my show do. And next thing we know, it's like, you know, we should be doing a show together here.
Yeah.
And, you know, next thing you know, Star Wars Beyond the Films is born, which I love the title, because when I first met Nathan, it was on the Star Wars site's official forum boards. And the first link you would go to was Star Wars Beyond the Films, and then it would take you into the EU section. So I thought it was kind of a nice little throwback to when he and I first met, because I remember, you know, seeing him when Equals and Opposites was coming out and stuff, and watching him go from regular red hyperspace member to the purple VIP status. And it was just like, wow, how'd that guy manage that, you know? and that was the thing, is I was getting into the EU, I'd always follow Nathan, because Nathan would always, you know, he was a teacher, so he'd latch on to things that didn't quite mesh up right away, and it was like, so I'd throw things, so Nathan, is this a problem? And, you know, we'd back and forth kind of figure things out like that. And so, you know, I'm really looking forward to where we're going to go with this. I mean, you know, we've talked about how we want to do a conversational story type, you know, podcasts along the lines of Chrono Radio. So it'll be very fun to see. And we're about the same age, so we got the same kind of POV on it. And we've been in fandom for a while. So, you know, I think we're going to be able to cover the base as well. We're going to have a lot of third guest hosts. We've got pretty much the entire Star Wars Report staff is on backup at this point in and filling in our guest host spots. So we'll be doing that on occasion and probably very frequently. I believe we're going to be keeping them pretty small. It'll be pretty fun. Now, Nathan, you got anything you want to say about it?
Yeah, and I know, Mark, you've got to head out. You've got some younglings and some school events as well, but it's a pleasure to have you on. And Nathan, welcome to the show as well.
Hey, glad to be here again. Seems like we just did this 24 hours ago.
It's like we were just talking. Yeah. Check out the feeds just before this episode.
All right, the big old wars interview. Fun stuff.
Mark, thanks for coming on. We'll let you go. But
all right, I got to take off. Nathan, I'll let you cover the rest, man.
All right,
everybody, I'll catch you next week. Take care.
Talk to you later. Talk to you later. Family first.
May the force be with us all.
All right. Yeah, like
See
we
you,
said.
Mark.
Family first. All right, Mark, busy guy, but glad that he was able to join us and put some of his POV on the latest news. Nathan, Star Wars Beyond the Films, what's coming up?
All right. Well, basically what we're trying to do, as he was saying, was sort of get back to the sort of more informal discussion format as far as big issues with Star Wars. When we started the EU review a couple of years ago, I was actually slowly, if you can believe it, thinking about phasing myself out of doing active podcasting in a lot of ways. I've been in podcasting for basically a decade now. I mean, it May of next year, the day that Attack of the Clones has its 10th anniversary, that's the anniversary of when I started Star Wars podcasting, because that's when I was in there producing the first episode of Chrono Radio to put out later that day. And I mean, the word podcasting didn't even exist for about another 2 years at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's one of those things that it kind of has had its ebb and flow. And I did Chrono Radio for about 5 years and really enjoyed the discussion on the EU where you can go into deeper things. One of my favorites from way back was, I believe it was called Archetypes and Saviors. I used to give every episode a name. And we did a discussion on mythical archetypes within Star Wars, where you can see them up to that point. Mm-hmm. And then a discussion on the religious overtones, including the concept of parthenogenesis, the virgin birth idea, and all kinds of stuff like that. And it was just fun to do. But a lot of production time went into that, especially back then. Now, you know, now 5 years after it's over with, I got a little more experience with it. And, you know, I've done other shows over the years, the Butlerniverse, Fan Audio Made Easy, which is sort of a tutorial series for people getting into fan audio at the time, Fan Audio News Source, executive produced Other Voices, did quite a few Star Wars fan audio dramas, including the first one. Online, for serious Star Wars fan audio drama online, Second Strike. I run StarWarsFanWorks.com. I've been doing the timeline. And it's sort of like I'm juggling all these projects all the time. And about 2 years ago, Solo Sound was being launched. And Andrew Loopy came to me and said, well, why don't we do a review podcast? It was right as I was kind of pulling back from other stuff and focusing more on me being a commentator on shows as opposed to being an actual producer behind the scenes. I was just at the time joining the team of Republic Forces Radio Network, where we talk about the Clone Wars each week over at republicforces.com. And we got to a point where the show, just over the last few months, has been, I don't want to say deteriorating, but it's been changing in a direction that I'm not as fond of. It started out as a lot of banter between me and Andrew, but as life things and other things have taken him a little more out of the show, and just time issues have grown and grown on both ends, it's wound up becoming a show that in a lot of ways is my voice and my voice alone, kind of like Chrono Radio was in its first few episodes. And it just sort of veered a little bit more into the straight review with less funny. And I really like the sarcastic humor that goes on. If anybody's heard Republic Force Radio Network, you know that that's kind of the stock in trade here, you know. And it kind of got to that point where I wanted to do something different. And as we talked about last night with that Wars episode, Grail Quest Books was just kind of making those arrangements with Middle Earth Network about the different cross promotions and such. And he suggests, well, why not take the EU review over to just bring it straight over to Middle Earth Network? And I wasn't sure about that because of the concept. I wasn't sure if I wanted to stick with that specific concept or not. That's sort of more of the ballywick of the Solo Sound stuff. They may even do something that somewhat replaces the EU review soon. And it kind of became, well, okay, if we're going to do something new, why not do something new, not just relaunch the same thing on a different place? So a lot of suggestions along the way, we came up with this Beyond the Films, a Star Wars EU discussion show that's not as locked into reviews as the EU review has been.
Yeah, yeah, and I remember you emailing me, or I guess you Facebook messaged me, and I was, and you said, and you mentioned this, and you know, Beth and I, we've been working with the Middle Earth Network guys right about when we rebranded the show from the Bothan Report to the little bit more mainstream Star Wars Report, and we had a bunch of different factors to do that show, and we've talked about it, but we have a lot of new listeners to the show who may not know our roots, and we did start out with Solo Sound, and we, you know, still have a great relationship with those guys, and so that was it was very awesome to how much our show has evolved, and it really seems like this is a new evolution in your podcasting endeavors. I won't say career, but it really does seem. I always love talking to you, Nathan, because you have very unique insights. We'll put it that way, into the fan audio community, and I always enjoy talking to you because tons of things have changed over the years, but then some things just do seem to remain the same as well.
Yeah, I mean, the podcasting community, when I started, it was basically you had Star Wars on Direct, which was in French, just a French-Canadian show. So that wasn't really being heard as much by English-speaking and American audiences in particular. You had Jedi Talk, which had just gone off the air. It used to do a live streaming show through like RealPlayer.
Yeah.
And then you had Digitalama Radio that was launching. And I actually wound up being on a couple of episodes of Digitalama Radio and editing them. I was supposed to be on the very first one, but I remember walking around my dad's place back living in Indiana with a phone trying to hear them well enough on the phone to do this recording, and then it winds up not being in the final episode anyway because the recorder didn't work. I mean, it was this very hit or miss type of thing at the time.
Oh.
So I come in and do a show that's only got one host, and about a year later started StarWarsFanWorks.com to bring things together. But even then, you know, bringing together a genre at the time was really simple. There was like less than 10 projects out there to bring together. iTunes had not, and iPods and stuff had not made their appearance yet.
The revolution of we'll get back to Beyond the Films in a moment, but I'll tell you what, the revolution of iTunes and iPods, and then now smartphones, which are now, I'm just looking on the radio station, we've got people all over the world tuning in right now from all kinds of devices, but it's not just in front of their computers as you would normally think live. We got people listening on their smartphones and streaming with the TuneIn radio app, and there's all these different ways of now listening live, to where it's kind of there's been this full circle thing where you had Jedi Talk doing a live show through RealPlayer, and very primitive technology at the time then, and then now where the podcasting got really popular, and then now we've kind of revolved back to it a live format again, and while. By far, our largest audience is in the podcast edition. Doing this live show and the live experience is a lot of fun. And having shows air on an online radio station where you know a bunch of other people are tuning in as well, it's a lot of fun. But yes. Jumping back into Beyond the Films, what you guys will be doing is covering in just kind of a fun banter sort of fashion anything that is. "Quote unquote beyond the films." So let's get a little bit of an example of what a show might look like, because I'm genuinely curious. I've been wanting to talk to you guys about this myself, and I thought, why not on the podcast?
All right. Well, the general gist at this point is sort of an almost an anything goes thing. I think at the moment it's much more along the lines of what we do with Republic Forces Radio Network, which is not be so set in a specific strict format, which is what Chrono Radio did. I mean, Chrono Radio had a formula that it went through episode by episode. Here's this segment, here's this segment, here's the intros in between. Much more of a freeform type of thing, but also something that is not as long as, say, the EU review is right now. The intention is that we will get together each month and record a nice big chunk of discussion, and then split that into pieces, which is actually how for Republic Forces we did our coverage of the Genndy Tartakovsky series and the droid stuff the last couple of summers. And that would allow us to put out materials essentially on a weekly or biweekly basis while in the recording the one time. It essentially makes it easier on our end to keep producing things, and yet at the same time the content comes more quickly for the audience. As for reviews, I mean, we may do reviews. We'll touch on those from time to time. Depends on what's out there. It's more just a question of what kind of topics spring up on us, what kind of topics are suggested to us by the listeners, what type of topics new books wind up bringing up. For instance, at this point, I'm in the process right now of reading Shadow Games. And one of the topics we might bring up, well, there's a couple you could bring up from that. One being, does the author of Shadow Games ever produce a book that doesn't have massive continuity errors? But one thing about that is, there's the question of should we avoid the year or a couple of years immediately prior to A New Hope and immediately after A New Hope because they're so chock full. Should there be essentially a moratorium on new stories in that era, just like for a while there was a moratorium on stories after the 25 years after A New Hope mark, and during the prequel era, back when during the Bantam days, they had specific strict limits on what time periods they were allowed to produce stuff in because Lucas's purview was those other areas. But, I mean, it's anything like that, anything that some new production brings to mind. And if there's not something brand new that has sparked a big new topic, it may wind up being something else. One thing that we're not going to do, though, is We try to be constructive. We try not to be all negative, all positive, very much like the EU review does. Yeah. But at the same time, not necessarily all politically correct topics every time. Because one thing science fiction lets you do is discuss issues and characterizations and such that in other contexts, say political context, would be something that people usually just they wouldn't dare talk about. And yet sci-fi opens the door to talk about these broader issues and these broader themes. And that is something that Star Wars does well because there are so many different genres of Star Wars stories now, especially in the last few years, where they're going off in so many different directions. So I'm curious to see where we wind up going, but it's definitely much more discussion than review. And we're coming up with ideas for different segments, different concepts of things to add in there. One thing that's popped to my mind, since I know that we'll have some listeners who are crossover from Star Wars Report to Star Wars Beyond the Films, who may not be as heavily into the EU, and this may be their way into the EU.
Yeah.
And one thing I've been thinking about is something like a Star Wars 101 kind of thing. Here's a crash course on this particular person, this particular storyline. On the other hand, though, I would point out, and this is a podcast that I do that I almost forget about half the time because I make a new version about once a year, is it's called the Star Wars Expanded Universe Primer. If you go to StarWarsFanWorks.com/EUPrimer.html, it is a five episode series where you literally listen to it and it brings you up to speed on the entire Star Wars continuity that you would need to jump in at pretty much any point in the continuity. Every time that I put out a new edition of the Star Wars Timeline Goal, I update the primer on there as a text document, and then I take that primer and I literally record it as audio for that podcast.
I like
the idea of doing that.
I love it. And we'll have to get together and do some brainstorming because I'm sure that could be a great digital media product that could be done through Middle Earth Network, because I know those guys are working on producing not just like syndicated podcast radio shows, but also audio dramas. But something like that could be very interesting for the Sorts on Records label or the My Little Earth page that they're working on, where you can have some great resources like that that aren't just in podcast form. So we'll have to get together and talk about that. But I'll tell you what, speaking of time constraints, etc., we've got in just a little bit, we've got Page Turner's Club. I almost blanked for a minute. We've got Page Turner's Club coming up in just a few minutes here. So that's going to pretty much wrap up this episode. But Nathan, I'll tell you what, you got me really excited. This sounds like a podcast that I would be itching to listen to. And not just because it's going to be on Star Wars Report or on the Middle Earth Network right here, but just because it sounds like it could be generally awesome. So I'm really looking forward to it, Nathan. And we have musical troubles, but there it is. All right, now we got the disco. All right. Like I say, that's going to do it for this particular episode of the Star Wars Report. But thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. Awesome show. Sorry, Mark had to pull out early. Goodness, I don't know what's happening with my music. Mm. Mark had to pull out early, but unfortunately, he'll be back. He'll be back with us next week. I'm going to have to watch this music like a hawk, Bethany, because when this media player keeps...
Okay.
I'm not playing this music. I'm done.
It's like, don't end the show.
But you know what happens every time is that all of the technical difficulties happen in the last couple minutes.
Yeah.
Where,
temporarily lost internet connection.
Yeah, so, that's where it is. So the podcast is still recording, but our call dropped and the music stopped in the same 30 seconds. Tell you what, Bethany, I'll monitor the situation to make sure everything doesn't crash and burn, but would you mind giving... tell the folks in the chat what's going on. I'll get the contact info. Hey, guys, if you want to email us, send us an email at starwarsreport@gmail.com. And I'll tell you what, because I would be hugely remiss if I didn't read this email. So I'll do it right now. This comes from Eric Dunhamel. And we do try to read our emails as often as possible. He says, I've been listening to the latest episode and just wanted to say he's thrilled by the introduction of our arch rival podcast, The Star Trek Report. Never heard of him. but hope he won't give us too much trouble. But anyway, he wanted to weigh in on the live-action series debate because he thinks he has a grasp of the situation. According to the things I've heard, especially the Rick McCallum interview that was posted on StarWarsReport.com, I do not think it is a matter of Lucas or Lucasfilm having enough money to produce the show. If the rumors are correct, and an hour-long episode would cost nearly as much to produce as a live-action movie, George Lucas as an investor, or Lucasfilm as a company, cannot even consider spending that much money on a TV show that would not make back nearly as much money as was invested. It'd be like throwing away money. So there would be only one choice at that point, and that's to wait for the cost of production to come down to a more conventional television show level. He says, thanks, and I'll get back to listening to Star Wars Report 22. Eric, thanks so much for your email. And like I say, you want to email us like Eric did, email us starwarsreport@gmail.com. And I'll tell you what, yeah, I think we could. That makes sense. And that was something I've been thinking, but I may not have communicated super well. So definitely, if you other ways that you can contact us, Twitter and Facebook, just search for the Star Wars Report. That's a great way to contact us. We've got an exploding Twitter account. That's awesome. All you guys are following us there. Join in on the conversation. Send us an iTunes review. As a matter of fact, in the chat right now is Chadlack, who did just write us an iTunes review. And I said this in the pre-show, but really, an iTunes review is even more gratifying than emails in some ways, because it's like publicly thanking us. I really do appreciate you doing that, Chadlack. And if you want to leave us an iTunes review, that would be awesome. Or Zune, or however you listen to the show. Just get the word out. Tell people about the Star Wars Report and about what we're doing every Thursday night at 8 p.m. on MiamiRadio.us. Thanks once again to ToyHut.com for sponsoring this episode. For the Star Wars Report, I'm Riley.
And I'm Bethany.
And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.